Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast. Of course, this is our last podcast before the big week of the Cheltenham Festival, where we will be bringing you the usual daily shows for the Cheltenham Festival. But before that, we have a spicy little card at Sandown to look forward to on ITV on Saturday. And I am joined by nearly the usual crew to rattle through them. Give some top tips. Dan Barber, Brendan Duke stepping in, and Tony Calvin as well. Let's kick straight on, TC. Bit of weather watch from you. What ground are we expecting at Sandown? We also obviously have the all-weather races at Wolverhampton to discuss, but we don't need the weather for that.
Firstly, I want to say I like the Lord Howard de Walden colours. They used to be a favourite of mine in the early 80s.
Yeah,
you see, Is that this?
Yeah.
Yes, apricot, I think. My mum
hates this coat and doesn't know why I wear it. And then that's why I wear it, because, you know, you always do the opposite of what your parents do.
Lord Howard de Walden. He had any number of top-class horses in those colours in the 80s.
Okay.
Right. Sandown, chase course is good to soft in places. Hurdles course, as is always the case, is heavy, soft in places. Wolverhampton is standard. And at Sandown, drying conditions, maybe just 2 mil before race time on Saturday. But so it's always going to be sticky and horrible and testing at Sandown, as per usual.
lovely, nicely summed up. Before we go any further, obviously a bit of housekeeping for you. Completely free bet on racing multiples. Yeah, that's been the case for every weekend up until the Cheltenham Festival, and of course that continues this weekend too. And alongside that completely free multiple available this weekend, there's also our popular bet and get on racing multiples offer that's available to selected customers this Saturday. So please check your carousel to see if you qualify. Make sure you opt in if you are eligible, and obviously the T's and C's apply. And as per always, we want you to do it responsibly. We want you to have fun with it, but do it carefully, please. So, Dan Barber, I'm going to come to you first, please, for this Sandown card. Let's kick off with the Betfair National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final over the 2.5 miles. Hass Thing is your 11-4 favourite here for the John Joe O'Neill Yard. Far Flower is in there at 100-30. Asta La Pasta in there for Dan Skelton, 6-1. He's got a good few chances this weekend. Those are your top three in the market. Let's kick off with this, please.
Yeah, obviously not the day's highlight. That is the opening race, which is the Betfair Racing Podcast Juvenile Handicap Hurdle. I just passed that on.
Which,
a bit like Hastings, features a horse whose handicap mark I can't get my head around. A horse called Cartoon & Co. for Skelton. No idea how they got it so low. And I've got similar feelings about Hastings in this race. Obviously, his bumper form speaks for itself. He won twice in France, finished placed on both starts in the UK, but the second of those was in the Grade 2 event at Aintree. Absolutely impossible to knock the quality of that form. If you're finishing placed in bumpers of that calibre, what sort of handicap mark are you expecting to be ending up with? You're expecting to be in the 130s, aren't you, in most cases? He's won twice, almost felt old school AP stuff, winning by as little distance as possible, almost, to try and ensure that the handicapper was a bit kinder later on. The day at Leicester, John Joe just held him together. He flattened the last. And then even all the way up the running, John Joe didn't have to get stuck in. And it was a similar story at Catterick, where he basically toyed with the re-opposing Pauling horse, Pick Rock. He always had him covered after travelling all over him. Pick Rock's boosted the form since. Pick Rock finds himself giving weight to Hastings despite that defeat. And Hastings, I think since then, he's been dropped to 2 miles to guarantee himself getting a mark, where he was behind making headway, but he wasn't far off him in the betting on the day. I find it really hard to get away from a horse who I think off 119 is so well handicapped. I mean,
okay,
might be a 1 point job at 11-4, nothing stronger than that, but it is a potentially ludicrously low mark.
Okay, worthy favorite then, Hastings. Brendan, do you agree?
Basically, I agree with everything Dan says. It's a tricky one because you're seeing all the fancy prices. I think the horse was put in 6-1. and he's now 11-4. And you think, oh, I've missed the price. I've missed the price. But I do think he should be clear fav, and perhaps even by a greater margin than he is. The only thing I would slightly disagree with Dan is, I mean, he was only 9-4 in Newbury the last day because, again, he looked well handicapped despite dropping a trip. His hurdling did fall asunder, but he'd shown a reasonably proficient technique in his previous two starts. So I'd hope that they get his hurdling back on track. And if they do, as Dan has already illustrated, he does look very well treated off that mark.
Okay, do you have anything further to add on this race, TC? Did you find the bet in here away from the fav?
No, I didn't find a bet. I found two.
And
the first one is Asta La Pasta. Now, he is a point and a half bigger elsewhere, but I thought the sixes was pretty good about Asta La Pasta. But the first thing to say about the race is, I've never seen so much pace in a big field handicap before. 12 of the 17 have gone forward, if not from the front, on their most recent starts. So this could be absolutely walking stuff after the last at Sandown. So, I mean, obviously you want a horse that's got stamina and abundance. Now, Asta La Pasta hasn't, because he hasn't raced beyond an extended 2 miles before. But, you know, he's shown a really good level of form at 2 miles already. I like the fact he's had course form. He did well to win under a penalty in a fair time at Weatherby last time. But I think the step up to 2 mile 4 just has to suit. Now, he is he's a half brother to a decent three mile winner. His dam was Asian Maze, who won 3 from 3 over 3 miles, including 2 grade 1s. So I think a mark of 124 with a step up in trip is really going to suit that. So I'm keen on him. But the more I looked at the race, the more I fancied Tara's Halls, an even bigger price. Now he's 14s with a sports book, and I couldn't believe it. He was 25s and 33s in places this morning. Now that's predictably gone this afternoon. But I still think 14s is very fair. Decent bumper performer. Good second to handstands at Newcastle, when obviously that won the Sydney Banks and going to Cheltenham next week. And I don't think he was overly busy in a qualifier at Doncaster last time. Okay. Now, he stormed. Go and have a look at the video. He stormed home there. I think the handicapper wasn't too amused by the ride because he put him up to a mark of 117. But given the bumper form, given the promise of his last two runs, I think Tara's Halls is set for a really big run. So Asta La Pasta at 16s, Tara's Halls at 14s, even though they are bigger elsewhere, I think those two prices are perfectly acceptable.
Lovely. All right, I want to stick with you, TC, to move on to the Betfair Imperial Cup. 16 runners, very competitive over the 2 miles, as you would expect. Gypco is one of two Ben Pauling horses up at the top of the market. 9-2 Gypco, 11-2 Bad. And that's why I want to start with UTC. You've also got Go Dante in there for Ollie Murphy, making headway to Knickerbocker Glory, a couple of the other shorter price horses to mention. But Bad obviously has got a good few mentions on this podcast, TC, courtesy of you in the past. He let us down the last day. Will he go place closer this time?
Possibly. I think he's a little bit underpriced. What we should mention, I should mention, there were 5 places in the in the EBF final, and there's 5 places on the sportsbook here as well.
Thank you.
So that's a decent, you know, we lost 7 at the overnight stage, including a couple of decent ones, Petit Tonnerre and Welsh Charger. But yeah, I wanted to tip Gypco and Favour Anti-Post on Monday, but the sportsbook were ducking them, went lower price about at 7-2 and 10s respectively when there were 5s and 16s elsewhere. So I couldn't really tip them then, but they've actually drifted out with 7 less runners with an extra place for the sportsbook. So I think Gypco, I think you probably have to have him on side. Came over from France with a mark of 127. Didn't do much, well, obviously highly tried in the Triumph on his first start. Didn't do much over fences, but bolted up at Huntingdon on Sunday. Only carrying a £7 pony to that gives him a mark of 124. So given the French form, you know, that's a positive. The key to him was first time hood. The tongue tie that was back on for the first time since he won 2 in France. Perhaps permanently, he won those 2 in France within 11 days of each other. So I think Gypco is a deserved favourite around the 9-2 mark. But I think favourites are betting here. I'm utilising the five places of the sportsbook. I think 12-1. The horse obviously won the county last year. It was only £2 higher, but he's not assured of a run in the county, which is probably why they're coming here. Now, there's no Imperial Cup Cheltenham bonus this year, but a £5 penalty he will get for winning this would guarantee him a run at Cheltenham next week. Now, obviously, that's what he's downsized if he wants to win a county hurdle again. But, you know, off a mark of 136 after a much improved fifth in the Betfair Hurdle last time under a very inexperienced £7 claimer, I just think he's the best handicapped horse in the race, and I can 12-1 five places. Now, there's no reason to suggest that he won't run here, but the thing in the back of my mind is I'm right in thinking that the county hurdle 5-day confirmations are on Saturday at midday. So I'm just worried about he might be pulled out if he's guaranteed a run at Cheltenham.
As of midday on Saturday.
But as it stands, I think Favre, after that run last time, off a falling handicap mark, I think he's a cracking each way about 12-1. Trying to second guess right, connect is a route to the poorhouse, but that's why I'm playing it. Favre each way.
Okay. Brendan, let's come to you for the Betfair Imperial Cup next. Are you looking near the top of the market or at some of those sort of bigger priced horses like TC to play in the each way market, like a Metier, for example?
Yeah, Metier is definitely interesting on his platform. I don't think he's totally in love with or he's fallen out of love certainly with hurdling. So I passed on him, but I can see it. I decided to take a chance on this Spirit d'Anjou.
Oh yeah,
for Gary Moore. So basically, you have to forgive an abysmal effort in the Betfair Hurdle, but the horse had been relentlessly progressive in just seven career starts up to that. He won a couple of back end handicaps last season, which worked out pretty well. He came back. He was very well backed against Blue King Daroo in Cheltenham. He was just too keen that day, pulled his chance away. But then he arrives over this course and distance, and Tony has mentioned how attritional these conditions are going to be on Saturday, and similar conditions in December when he absolutely bolted up. Now, mixed messages from the form. Some horses disappointed. The third did go and bolt up the next day. Got £10 for that, which is a fair hike for the English handicapper to give, but I thought it was justified, and I thought he had the right chance in the Betfair Hurdle. Just a completely lifeless effort. I don't think the rise in the weights explained it. I'm not saying the handicapper hasn't caught up with him, that's obviously possible, but I don't think it explained the effort in Newbury. That was just 4 weeks ago, so that would suggest they didn't find anything wrong. So I'm just going to forgive the horse one bad run, say he can resume his upward trajectory over under conditions that clearly suit him very well. And at 12-1, I thought it was worth forgiving him the last day.
Okay, so for the Betfair Imperial Cup so far, we've got Spirit Danu, Favois mentioned, Gypco given a positive mention by TC. Dan, who would you like to throw into the mix?
I will mention two. One of them's new at a big price, but I agree that Gypco should be further clear of these in the market. So, like, compare his price to Bad, who, yes, he's been consistent since he came over, but he's spurned winning opportunities, and I thought he got worried out of it at Ascot last time. He's quite a free-going horse. He's also got to prove himself on the Sandown glue, hasn't he? Which, based on Huntingdon the other day, will not be a problem for Gypco. The other thing I mentioned, apart from the headgear combo that Tony mentioned with the hood and tongue tie, is the fact that it was his first run in a handicap, and he's obviously a much better hurdler than Chaser, because when they got him, they pitched him into those two grade one races that Tony mentioned. He then tried chasing, which didn't work out, and I think it was easy to assume that, oh, maybe that's just his level, and because obviously the grade one runs were hard to assess, but he was absolutely blistering on Sunday, tanked through the race, made the ground look like good to firm, and was so impressive when he was asked to go and win the race. He absolutely powered past the line. So I've got to have him on side. The other one I'm going to mention is X-Flat Horse. So you wouldn't expect him to be a Sandown mudder, but Shared, all he does is race lazily and finishes races. And he's 33s. I'd like to see a change of headgear or something to freshen him up, but he's the sort of horse that will get outpaced on the home turn. And when others have completely blown out of their arse, he might actually still be plugging on down the outside.
Just okay. Just one thing on Gyp Cup. Sorry, Finlayson, very quickly.
Yeah.
Obviously, the win was on Sunday, Dan, and they don't reassess those for until the following week, do they?
Yeah.
Do you reckon he'll be well? He'll be well in under the £7 penalty. Do you reckon he'll get more than £7?
I'd say so. If you're winning that easily, five lengths at a sharp 2 miles, you're looking at £1.50 a length, maybe. Yeah, he'd be going up 9 or 10. I'd have thought.
I'm gonna guess 10 for what it's worth. Let's move on to the Mayor's Bumper. TC, this might be short and brief with you. Are you in the Obet racing here? Honky Tonk Highway, 4-1. Just Call Me Lucy, 4-1. Sunset Marquesa at 9-2. Magical Annie and Never Ben Pauling again at 5-1. Those are your top few. TC, any no bet here?
I won't be having a bet. I thought Sunset Marquesa was probably the form and time horse. I'm surprised Crazier Than Daisy's 12-1 after that very good and unlucky debut at Huntingdon. But, you know, there's any number of horses in there. And you have to be very mindful of the fact that 2 4-year-olds are getting a whopping £10 down the bottom here. I've made my mind up and planted armour. But, no, not really my bag, Bumpers.
Not your bag. Dan Barber, I'm not really sure this is any of our bags, really.
No. I'd be the same if it wasn't for the shame that I'm not even covering the two flat races. So I could be down to 50% here. Yeah. Well, I'll just pass on some time form stuff in the fact that Just Call Me Lucy is top rated by quite a margin. And I appreciate it was a 17-length win, which of a bumper, which are often hard to assess. But she did absolutely power through the race. She's been given a break since. I really rate the stable. And she showed there that Bad Ground is absolutely no problem for her. That would be a very, very... I don't know what weaker than tentative is, but it would be that.
Nine-tative.
Yes, well...
No.
Look at
and
that.
There goes your headline for this week's Racing Only Better.
I love that. I was just looking very quickly at Mark Walford's year, or trying to. I'm like you, big fan of the stable for Just Call Me Lucy, Mark Walford's operation.
That reminds me of that reverse of that good line that people have. You know, if they have a mate who always tries to one-up you, so I've done this and then he's always done something better. They say... If you've been to Tenerife, he's been to 11erife.
I like that one. Brendan, you've already outshone the rest of us here today with that little quip, but do you have the winner of the Mayor's Bumper for us?
Well, I'm very conscious of the fact that I think I was parachuted in for this corresponding podcast last
corresponding mixture.
I think there may be some members of the A team who flat out refuse to cover this Mayor's Bumper, and I can't say. Is it Honky Tonk Highway? Is their name? I have Honky Tonk Woman written down in my notes. This is absolutely desperate stuff. So you've saved my blushes there, Vanessa. Honky Tonk Highway, I put it to you, she must be a looker. 24,000 as a yearling, 55,000 as a 3-year-old store. Now, she is by Milan, but the dam side is pretty weak. So I suspect she's a bit of a looker. And I'd imagine she made a multiple of 55,000 after winning a point-to-point. The second on that point was a mare called Diva Luna, who went and won one of the listed bumpers for Ben Pauling. So she's there or thereabouts in UK Mayor's Bumper form. Skelton had the second behind that Diva Luna, and I imagine he would have had a few who were contenders to run in this race, but he relies on the Honky Tonk Highway, which is probably significant. I can see why she's favourite given her profile, but yes, very nine-tative on this race as well.
Okay, well, at least we got the horse's name right in the end, so that's good. I think there are some people who flatly refuse to do this race, actually. You're right.
Cheltenham Fever, isn't it? A few have been struck down.
Yeah, struck down. Right, on we go to the 3:35 at Sandown, over again, 2.5 miles, but this time it's Handicap Chase. Betfair Serial Winners Fund at Handicap Chase, which is still at 180,000, courtesy of course, Rachel Blackmore, our Betfair ambassador, but you know that by now. Golden Sun, Paul Nichols, Harry Cobden is your 5-2 favourite. Cop Mask is next for the Moore team, 100-30. TC, I will come to you first here, please.
I would, given that the pace map suggests 5 of the 8 in here will go forward, I think it might suit, the run style might suit Cop Mask, who obviously coming here on a hat trick. He's a course winner. I thought the 130 was fair, but he has got a mistake in him, and it's not a real standout. You know, we could be going to iterative stage here, couldn't we?
Okay.
Let's get to Wolves, Jesus.
Yeah, well, when you're just dropping off the call altogether, let's keep the vibes high, guys. Let's keep the vibes high. Brendan, come on, give us a huge prize winner of this.
Well, not a huge price, 13-2, but I thought Scarface had a reasonable chance of turning the form around with Cotmas from Plumpton. Actually, on
here we go.
Well, he was a promising novice hurdler. He didn't, in fairness, really go on in handicaps over hurdles, and he's been a work in progress over fences. He's not a natural jumper, but is definitely getting better. I'm not sure the forerunner field and fairly tepid pace of Plumpton played to his strengths. He can be a bit keen as well. Now, not that there's a massive field here, granted, but as Tony mentioned, they'll likely be getting on with things. He should be able to find a bit of cover. Now, Cotmas did win snug in the end, I'll grant you that, and it's only a £3 swing. But I think given the likely makeup of the race and the differential in their prices, I just thought Scarface was probably the value in the race.
Okay, 13-2, like you say, for the Tizard team. Dan, what about you in here?
Yeah, quite interesting, isn't it?
This is your race. This is your race where your nap is coming.
You might be right there, actually. Well, Golden Sun's, it isn't. But I'll just make you think it is for a while. Golden Sun, obviously, is he just going to take off now, or is he going to revert to what he was in between the Warwick run and that Kempton performance where we saw of Heltonumu just a week later boosted the form? At the price, I'm happy to err on the latter that he might not back it up. He certainly got to show more consistency than he has done previous to this season. What I thought was overpriced was another quick turnaround horse, Heroes. I go Heros. The French bred of Venetias, who gave Eton Kalina a real scare at Weatherby. They had a ding-dong battle from three out. Eton Kalina is a well-handicapped horse who's been getting his career back on track. He'd won his last... that was the second win in a row. Heroes 2 started his season really well. Seemed to go off the boil, which half tallied with the stable, who had a quiet spell. And then he burst back to life at Weatherby. Just running a really sound race. He's proven in conditions. He's double figures, and he's only £3 higher. I thought, because as Tony's saying, maybe half of these will scupper their own chances by getting embroiled in a battle for the lead. And I'd be hopeful they don't with him. He has made it, and he's been ridden prominently, but I don't think he's an inveterate front runner. I think it's just because he's been running in smallish fields. So yeah, that's the risk I take, that he gets hooked up in a battle for the lead. But I'm be fairly confident that Deutsche wouldn't be the type of man to get involved in that sort of malarkey.
I in Deutsche we trust. Let's move on to some all weather action, some flat action. TC's looking dubious at that.
No. I always when Charlie Deutsch and Speed is mentioned, I always.
Oh, you love that little lol, don't you? Every time.
It's such a good story.
You're an easy laugh sometimes, TC, and not other times. I love.
No, the image came into my head. So sorry.
Onwards we go. Wolverhampton, two races there, two decent races as well. And Brendan, in the Lady Wolfruna to kick things off over the 7 furlongs at Wolverhampton, you've got Should Have Been a Ring, is 5-4 at the top of the market. He is taking on the likes of Dr. Khan Jr., who we've obviously seen much more recently. 9/10 as well at 7-2, also been on the all weather this winter. Mum's Tipple still going strong, 13-2, Misty Gray in there, and Intervention 2 at a bigger price. The horse at the top of the market, Should Have Been a Ring, danced nearly every dance last summer, didn't he?
He's just a joy of a horse, isn't he? 12 runs last season.
12.
Sandy Lanes, handicaps. He hardly put up a bad effort. And then he takes his form to a new level. Our last two starts, the second in a Sprint Cup and third in a foray with no less than Kim Ross, granted unlucky, but in second. I mean, it's proper form. Now, he was 50-1 at Haydock and 35-1 at Longchamp. So maybe you think his mark a little bit flattering at 117, and that might be the case, but it might not be. The horse might just be thriving on his race, and he's not going to have to run to anything close to 117 here. He's unpenalised. He goes well fresh, should get a decent pace to aim at. I just couldn't find any negatives, basically. I might be missing something, but is it 5-4? You think in your head, oh, that's a short price, but he should be winning here, and he's almost certain to run his race.
I agree. TC, is it as simple as that? Are myself and Brendan missing something here?
I was waiting for the text to come through from Barry, just saying, can you call it the Betfair Haydock Sprint Cup, please?
Oh, yeah, no, you dropped the ball there, and we've been hot on this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's the class act in here, but he lacks a recent run on, unlike the rest of the field, and crucially, perhaps, he's never run at this track before. So that would be two potential negatives. I think Dr. Khan Jr. is guaranteed to get the run of the race from track one. But will he have the class to win? I came down on the 7-2, 9/10. Is that the name of the horse? 9/10?
Yeah.
Bumped into a real improver in Dear My Friend last time. He's got the course form. He's got the £5 sex allowance. So, yeah, if I was going to have a bet in the race, it'd be the 7-2, about 9/10.
Okay, lovely. And then on we go to the last race to look at, which is, of course, the Lincoln Trial. Lincoln Trial time already. Terrifying. Over the mile and the half a furlong at Wolverhampton. And Final Voyage over from Ireland is 11-4, top of the market for that man, Johnny Murta. Got William Buick booked for the ride. King's Code, best of the UK representatives, Dave Evans, 11-2. Kingdom Come in there for Clive Cox, also 11-2. Those are your top three in the market. Brendan, does the Irish Raider just take this?
Could do. I couldn't get away from Ben Acre, 14-1, though. Yeah, interesting pace maps for this race. There are a number of prominent racers, but it's hard to find an out-and-out front runner. I have a suspicion that Ben Acre's optimum trip might be around 10 furlongs. And if Billy the Kid shares that view, there's probably a lead on here. So he can make this a reasonable test on a sharp track. I like that they gelded him. I sort of got the sense he was keeping a little bit to himself last year. You might well remember, of course, Should Have Been a Ring was running basically every week last season, but he Should Have Been a Ring won a listed race on Guineas weekend over 7 furlongs, narrowly defeating none other than Ben Acre, and there were horses in behind who have since boosted that form. So certainly Ben Acre would look well handicapped off 92 if he could repeat that. The snag is he didn't really back up his season finish with a whimper, but he's been gelded. He might get the run of the race. He has the potential to be well handicapped. I thought 14-1, just a chancy old price. I'll have a few quid in him win only.
Chancy old price. And TC, were you nodding in agreement there? Or
I fully underline what Brendan said about the potential pace mapping here. I had Sudden Ambush question mark, Ben Acre question mark. So I think if someone takes the initiative, there is there's a lead here to be taken. So I can fully see the case for Ben Acre. I did these two races first before I looked at the jumps races, but before the revised prices came through, and I was leaning towards Final Voyage. Unfortunately, so is the Sports Accomplice compiler. They're 11-4, and he's double that price elsewhere. But I would be willing to take a chance at 11-2, but not 11-4, because there are potential negatives here. He's drawn 11 of 11, and he does get back in his races. You don't want to get too far back at Wolverhampton. And not only that, he's been up £4 for a Dundalk win last time. It got him up to a career high mark of 93, a joint career high mark. He's raced off a mark of 93 7 times in the past. He's been beaten on all 7 occasions. So that would have to worry you about Final Voyage. But he is in form. He's 3 from 4 around the course for his previous handler. Yeah, if he drifts out to about 5s, I might stick a few quid on Final Voyage. But yeah, the more I look at the Brendan's case for Ben Acre, my arm could be twisted there as well for a duck.
Okay. All right. Well, look, guys, it is time for your naps now. I'm going to get to those very shortly. Dan, we will be starting with you. But before I get the naps, don't forget, listeners and viewers out there, to make use of Betfair's safer gambling tools, please. They are easy to find on the website. Nearly 50% of customers already use said safer gambling tools. There's loads of different options on there. And like I said earlier, we want you to have fun, but we want you to do it responsibly. So do check them out on the website, Betfair's safer gambling tools. Naps, Dan, kicking off with you.
Yeah, obviously not got that much to go on, but Zipcot at 9-2 strikes me as the best value bet that we've I've discussed so far this afternoon.
Beautiful. TC, your nap, please.
I've backed three horses so far: Favour, Astor the Pastor, and Tara's Halls. I've had the biggest bet on Tara's Halls. So Tara's Halls is the nap in the 150 at Sandown. Win only, even though the sportsbook are playing five places.
Okay, and finally, Brendan, your nap, please.
Ben Aker, 315 Wolver, Billy Whiz.
Oh, lovely. A big price as well. Beautiful. Right, boys, thank you very much. Listeners and viewers out there, thank you very much for joining us as always. And don't forget, daily shows coming your way for the Cheltenham Festival. We'll be kicking them off on Sunday, looking obviously at the declared runners for Tuesday. And then therein after, we'll be doing the daily shows, running through every race at the Cheltenham Festival with the usual team. Cannot wait. So much content coming your way. You've got the Cheltenham Festival preview show, the full one. You've got the Paul Nicholls content. You've got Rachel Blackmore content. You've got everything you could ever wish for. And it's all brought to you courtesy of Betfair. On that note, have a good weekend, everyone. Join us again for the Cheltenham Festival. But for now, thank you very much for listening.